Hey, baby, I know you've had a hard day. Packing lunches, folding laundry, getting the oil changed in the caravan. Or maybe you've spent 8 hours in the cubicle with that jerk boss looking over your shoulders. Settle down, pour a glass of red, kick your shoes off and forget about your cares, baby. It's time for the Anna and Susanna Show.
Everyone, this is Anna Lind Thomas, the second half of the Anna and Susanna Show. Susanna is helping to lead a Bible camp this week. So, you know, I'm all by myself. I want to be all by myself anymore. But somehow, I'm going to make it through. Good thing I like to talk and also have lots of opinions. So that helps a lot. Okay. By the way, doesn't Susanna's schedule just make us all feel a little lazy? You know? Oh. You were off leading children through a Bible camp all week? That's cool. I went to the pool with my kids. And then Tuesday I went to Target because I'm all out of diapers. I told my kids that if they complain about being bored one more time, I was going to make them scrub all the toilets with their toothbrush. And then, of course, I threw the toothbrush away. That threat worked for about 3 hours. So, yeah, anyway, poured myself a glass of wine, and I've been looking through Facebook. So, anyway, not quite Bible camp, but I have been busy. You know what I mean? That's how she makes me feel. That's how she makes me feel. So this entire month of August, we are going to confront joy killers. One by one, we're going to root them out. We're going to hunt them down. And when we find them, we're going to kick their butts. Sorry, that actually got a little bit more violent than I intended. But my point is, we are going offense when it comes to our joy. Listen, I've said this before, but our world, the people around us, it's losing its joy, and that misery is contagious. I was reading an article yesterday that there are a wave of young adults, millennials. I know millennials are already always getting a bad rap, but here we go again. They have decided that they're not going to have kids because they fear the world will end due to climate change during their lifetime. Listen, I'm not going to say global warming or climate change isn't a real thing at all. But what I do know is that deciding you won't create a family because of a few terrifying articles you've read in The Atlantic is the kind of thing that has got to make the enemy just so, so delighted. That is precisely the kind of fear that poisons us all. The fear that loses hope. Hopelessness is the enemy's jam. Okay? So if you ever find yourself feeling hopeless, like all hope is lost, then you're not being Christ-filled. That's for sure. The Spirit's not thriving. All right? All this hopelessness. People are just so sad and miserable. Listen, being committed to joy isn't the same as being in denial. We can face social injustices and work towards caring and healing others. We can fight for better legislation and get involved in politics. We can sell our car, buy a bike, and eat only organic if we want to help heal the planet. If we want to. But we don't ever, ever have to lose our joy in the process. This world has always been difficult to survive in. But human beings figure out a way, don't we? I've been doing some research actually on climate change. That's why I just brought that up as an example. Because even journalists and the most prestigious news organizations get it wrong way more than they should. So I like to get to the source, read critiques of the findings and the methods, etc. And if it's boring, I don't get in too deep. But I found out a lot of interesting things. As you probably know, our Earth has gone through a lot of varying climate changes. I just read an academic journal about how the Middle Ages were hotter than it is today. And let me tell you, our ancestors didn't have heating and cooling, okay? No one in the Middle Ages was slipping on the AC. I honestly, this is, I don't mean to make light of this, but I honestly don't know how people slept in the hot summers before air conditioning. I really don't. And especially in the Middle Ages. Guys, I can't even sleep well if the thermostat is above 72, okay? Now I have to imagine it's 100 degrees in my mud hut that I share with my family and my goats. No thanks, okay? The Middle Ages could not have been a great period to live in. That's all I'm saying, okay? Let's get less deep. Do you even want to think of a time when pads and tampons didn't exist? Can you even wrap your mind around it? Remember playing Oregon Trail at school and constantly dying of dysentery? I don't even know what dysentery is. I didn't know then, I don't know now, but it's bad. The reality of life before modern times is hard to even imagine. In the 1800s, infant mortality was 50% of their babies only made it to age 10. That meant out of all the children a man and woman had, they buried half of them. The century before that was 20%. As a mother of two small babies, that is so unfathomable to me that it's out of my soul's grasp to even contemplate. What's my point? Despite what we see in the news and what we hear and what we get in our news feeds and on social media, we are so lucky to be alive right now in this day and age. And I know the world doesn't want you to believe that. I know they don't want you to believe. Just the fact that you can turn on your faucet in your sink and have clean water, that's huge. But the world doesn't want you to believe that this is a lucky time to be alive. And why is that? I think it's a myriad of so many things. For one, humans are so desperately self-centered. Our suffering is always the worst of all sufferings. Humans always have this angle and agenda too. Have you noticed that? And if people don't follow suit to what we want in our lives or in this world or in our government, then we lose our minds. We name call, we dismiss millions of people as idiots or evil or a myriad of other terrible labels that enable us to strip them of their humanity and distance ourselves from them. But then here's the kicker. We exaggerate the consequences of our argument, pushing the line further and further until everything creates a doomsday scenario. If you don't vaccinate, doomsday. If you do vaccinate, doomsday. Your child going to the park by themselves, they will be abducted. Doomsday, doomsday, doomsday. If you don't do XYZ, the world is literally going to end. That's more about them than it is about the truth. So thanks a lot, Dems, or GOP, or gays, or grandma. The world is going to end because of you, and you not following in line with me. And then we just can't help ourselves from joining the collective hysteria. I'm going to be real with you. I'm friends with someone on Facebook. She's pretty well known. And lately she's become, let's just say, a bit upset about something that's happening in the world. And she was able to whip up so much mass hysteria that if you weren't hysterical, you almost felt like you were missing out. Like people were getting hysteria FOMO. All right, like all the cool kids were freaking out. And if you weren't freaking out, you were totally left out. You were a loser. You were an outcast. You weren't paying attention. We got to stop the crazy right here, right now. It's getting crazy. That's not us. Okay, we're not going to get whipped up into that because nobody is going to steal our joy. It's a gift from God. We have endless hope. We know this world is just temporary, and we are going to squeeze every last drop of joy and goodness out of it before we go. So last week we talked about complaining, and I have gotten a lot of feedback about that episode. Honestly, I think it struck a chord. I know it struck a chord with me while I was, you know, sharing it with you. I was even kind of thinking about passive-aggressively leaving a link of the podcast to all the big complainers in my life, but, you know, I didn't do that, okay? But I wanted to do that. And then God pressed it on my heart that maybe fixing my own rampant complaining habit first is probably the, you know, a good first step. So, speaking of which, have you ever gone to a church service
or some kind of powerful talker seminar, and as you're sitting there, you're like, oh man, my husband really needs to hear this. Or, wow, this message is perfect for my mom. But then we realize they aren't there hearing it. We are. So whether we agree or not, that message was meant for us. It's a tough pill to swallow. I can't tell you how many church services I was like, I hope my husband's paying attention. This is for him. The Lord is talking right to him. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Preach it. Preach it. You know, I'm looking over at him to make sure he's paying attention. God's like, no, Anna, this is for you. Okay, stop looking over at him. I'm talking right to you. Okay. Tough pill to swallow. Honestly, it's kind of heavy when you think about it. So, okay. Complaining. Joy killer number one. So let's talk about joy killer number two. Impatience. All right, now don't turn off the podcast, okay? I know nobody likes to hear a message about patience, okay? Especially me. Do you know how painful it was to prepare this message? Okay? There's nobody on the planet more impatient than me. There is no one. I am the most impatient person on the planet. I would compete against all of you. I would destroy you. That's how competitive I am, but that's also how confident I am. I would destroy you with my impatience, okay? I remember reading this motivational book not that long ago. There was an entire chapter on patience. I skipped it. I didn't even want to read it. Don't tell me my dreams are going to take a long time. All right? Tell me they're going to happen tomorrow or I'm closing the book. I want what I want, when I want it. I want it now. Not yesterday. Now. Now. And by wanting it now, by not being content and patient, here's the bummer. I lose my joy every single time. Let me tell you, friends, our time on earth is like the blink of an eye, but it's also slow. If you've ever gone to the DMV, you know this. Our lifespans are growing older and older. Soon, it won't be crazy to think that a lot of us can live to be 115. Right now, the average lifespan is around 80 years old, and most of us are kind of fat. Okay? Imagine if we got our crap together and got super fit. That would easily pop up to 90 or 100. So if you're 50 years old right now and think you lost your chance to chase a vision God put on your heart, guess what, sister? You're at like the halfway point. All the years you've lived, you've got all that ahead of you right now. This is tons of time. Are you 70? You got like 30 years of awesomeness. You really do. Get going. Get yourself fit and get going. Because, listen, this reality of having a lot more time than even our parents' generation has really hit me. I thought being 40 was so old when I was a kid. I mean, 40-year-old dudes were like bald and they drank Schlitz beer and the women wore pumps and stinky perfume. And now that I'm getting there, oh my gosh, 40 years old is just a baby. I mean, at least for me, I am just starting to come into myself as a woman. It's almost like a new beginning. It's like puberty, sort of, for the mind. Is that a thing? That's a book. That's the next book I'm going to write. I'm going to stand there in like a smart suit, smart blazer, my arms crossed. Puberty for the mind. It's going to be the title. Might not do very well, but that's the vision. Okay, that's the vision. But honestly, like 40 for me is like a new beginning. It's one of the biggest reasons I've made health and fitness one of my first priorities, because if God lets me be on this earth a long time, I want my knees to work when I'm trying to go up the stairs. You know what I mean? There's this elderly woman on YouTube. There's actually several of them, and they have bodies better than most 20-year-olds. They are beasts in the gym, and they look amazing. One woman, her name is Ernestine Shepherd. She's a professional bodybuilder, and she's in her 80s. Google her. Her body is unreal. She didn't even start working out until she was 56. So if you're 70, get yourself in the gym, all right? You got 30 years of awesome ahead of you. Go for it. So don't tell me it's too late. And please, if you're anything like me and started a diet last week and keep checking to see if you fit into the pants you wore after you had mono for a month, then just save yourself the agony because they're going to be tight. And you're going to get all sad because you thought 1 week of cutting out white flour was going to make you drop 60 pounds. It's not. Okay? Take it from me. Losing real fat, that takes time. And it sucks. But it's the truth. And believing anything else other than the truth is just a waste of time. Everything good and wonderful in life takes time. And I know that's just not good enough, is it? Have you ever tried to explain slow Wi-Fi to a toddler? Have you? I can't tell you how agonizing that is. So I have this first generation iPad that I haven't used in years. It got really slow and I eventually just stopped using it. Well, we decided to resurrect the old fossil so we could download the PBS app and let Lucy play some learning games on it. Oh my Lanta. Okay, girlfriend wants nothing to do with that spinning rainbow circle of doom. Okay, all she knows is that she wants to play a game with Elmo and she wants to play it now. And trying to say, hold on, baby, it's having trouble connecting to the Wi-Fi, brings her zero solace, okay? Zero. She's like a tyrant. She's like an angry Henry VIII when the Wi-Fi gets slow, okay? It's ridiculous. At one point, she started to get so naughty that I had to discipline her naughty little butt and lovingly throw her into the calm-down chair. All because of slow Wi-Fi. This is the world we live in, okay? We thought impatience was bad in the biblical days, but do you think it's gotten worse? This is a question I've honestly been asking myself. So I did some research on impatience, okay? Why are we this way? Social scientists have described it as an adaptive syndrome, okay? It goes like this. We suffer impatience when one, we have a goal, two, we have accepted certain costs, including opportunity costs, for reaching the goal. Three, we learn that it's going to cost us more than we thought to reach the goal. And four, we start looking for ways to avoid having to pay those extra costs. That's pretty much impatience in a nutshell. So right away, you can see that we have a certain level of entitlement in most areas of our life. We have an expectation that something will go the way we want it to go and throw a fit when it doesn't. Many times we'll quit and make the situation worse. It's like, you know, when you quit and it's like you're in traffic and you're in like the right-hand lane and then the left-hand lane is like going pretty fast. So then you switch over to the left-hand lane and then that lane stops and the person who was behind you now passes you. So then you get over into the other. I mean, it's just... calm down. Everybody's going to get there at the same time. You know what I mean? You know when you get cut off by somebody who's speeding and they're dangerous and then all of a sudden you pull up next to them at a red light. It's like, oh, you risked both of our lives cutting me off so that we could arrive at this stoplight at the exact same time. And for what? Makes us all into fools, honestly. So now in our culture, productivity and achievement has become king. Everyone is competing to get there first. How much can we accomplish in the shortest amount of time? One reason we're so impatient is that our culture is set up to reward immediate results. We're unhappy because our life becomes chasing achievements, and really, it's rarely for ourselves. It's honestly for the accolades of others because of that reward we get for achieving quickly. And honestly, when we're working to chase an achievement for the accolades of others, it doesn't get more empty than that. It really doesn't. Listen, we are so impatient, we can't even tolerate people training for a job. You know, when you're in line at the grocery store and you get the new girl who has to consult the training book for every barcode swipe, you know, for everything that needs to get weighed, you're just standing there like, why God? Why me? Why today? What do you mean she doesn't know how to use the cash register? Who doesn't know how to use a cash register?
People can't even learn anymore. That's how impatient we are. We expect 16-year-old girls who just got hired at Kroger to have the code number for organic yellow onions memorized by the time we show up. Come on. It's silly. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, "Love is patient and kind." And I love this one in Proverbs 16:32. "Better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city." I envision so many of us acting like warriors, impatient, making hasty decisions and rushing into things that we later regret. Patience, as they say, is a virtue. It's also one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's something we must learn if we plan to keep our joy. How can we step out of our entitlement or expectations and learn to settle into a quiet trust in God? First, we have to fully understand and prepare for the fact that all good things worthwhile take time. I know it sucks. I know it does. One of the most incredible stories of patience of our time is the story of Nelson Mandela. He was arrested and given a life sentence for being an anti-apartheid activist. He was in jail for 27 years. I worked at a university in California and was getting my master's degree at age 27. And my entire span of life, from a newborn to that moment, was the same amount of time he was in prison, forced to hammer rocks into gravel day after day after day. What is most incredible about Mandela is that he believed his time in jail served a larger, important purpose, so he had no animosity for his captors or for the guards. There is a spiritual lesson here. When we trust that our delayed waiting or suffering has a specific God-ordained purpose, then we can enter into the peace, contentment, and joy of God regardless of our circumstances. That doesn't mean that God is punishing us or doing terrible things to us, but it means that we have a God who will help us find purpose in our pain, who will bring glory out of ashes, beauty out of ashes, so we can take comfort. We can relax and enter the peace and contentment of joy of God, regardless of our circumstances. Men and women like Mandela, they're gifts to us. They show us that if they can overcome and wait 27 years for freedom, I can wait another year to buy my first home. You know, I can wait another year for my book to get finished. I can wait another year. I can wait another 5 years. It puts things into perspective, prioritizes, and sheds a light on our false sense of urgency. There's a story in Jack Canfield's book, The Success Principles, about two men who are interviewed by journalists who rushed to cover a traffic jam created after an accident. So there's this big traffic jam and these journalists show up and they start interviewing the people who are stuck in the traffic jam. I'm paraphrasing here, all right? Because I'm lazy and I don't want to go back and read the actual quotes. But, you know, the point remains the same. They interviewed one man waiting in his car and he was angry about being stuck in traffic. He went on and on about how he's going to be late for work, that his entire day was wasted, and that every minute was costing him money, that he sat there with his car idling. Then they interviewed another man who was gentle and friendly. He said that he prepares for unexpected delays. Okay, taking 100% responsibility for your life. I'm into it. He had a couple books with him, some coffee and some snacks. And he said, "I think I'll just use this as an excuse to catch up on my reading," he said with a smile. The impatient man was obviously miserable, bored, and rageful the entire day. The patient man got to spend his day reading a good book. Both of these men had important places to go. They were going to work. But one was self-combusting when he couldn't get there on his timetable, and the other guy took advantage of it and had a great time. I want to be the kind of person that has a great time while I'm waiting, friends.
who takes the time to prepare and grow and serve and learn. I want to grow spiritually and emotionally. I want to laugh and I want to have fun while I'm waiting. I don't want to be the kind of person who worries and gets angry and huffs and puffs when I don't get my way. I want to be gentle and I want to be kind, and I want to use it as an opportunity for good, for my good or for somebody else's good. Like, I want to be the person who doesn't even get mad that Amazon Prime's two-day shipping is a big fat pile of lies. Okay? I mean, real quick, are you guys getting your stuff in 2 days? Because I'm not. Okay, I think like 10% of the things I order actually get here in 2 days. Everything else is just like, I don't know, whenever, apparently. I mean, it comes faster than probably most, but still, why are we calling it 2 day when it's like whatever days, all right? But I digress. I want to be that person who can wait 4 days for a book without calling up a customer service rep and letting them have it, which I haven't done, okay? But I've thought about it. And unfortunately, it's a thought that counts. Okay? Okay. Things take time. Did you know J.K. Rowling took 6 full years to write the first Harry Potter book? It took her even longer to get an agent and even longer to get it published. It took not weeks, not months, not a year, 6 years just to write the first Harry Potter book. All of that time she invested in just one book, you guys, and she had no idea if anyone was ever going to buy it. But she did it because what else is she going to do? It's in her heart. Writing and imagination and telling this story is who she is. So who cares if the book gets published or not? It's what she was meant to do. When I started Ha Ha's for Hoo Ha, it's a funny entertainment website for women, which is now basically in retirement. My main goal was to get the site big enough to get an agent, sell a book, and be financially set for the rest of my life in 5 short years. Okay? 5 long years is what it felt like at the time. And I like really believed that that was a thing, that I could just, you know, just do that in 5 years, that I would have acquired all of this talent and knowledge and skill and business savvy and maturity, like everything I needed to be prosperous in every areas of my life in 5 short years. All right. I was a fool. Okay. I was a fool. Let me tell you, 5 years came and went real quick, and I was probably farther behind than I was ahead. It's been, honestly, I think it's been almost 8 years now. And I can honestly say I have never trusted God's timing more in my life than I do right now, because I have learned and grown so dramatically in those 8 years. I am thankful I didn't get what I wanted when I wanted it. Here's the real truth. The most successful people in the world usually took 10 years or longer to reach their goals. And for those very rare people who were overnight successes, they often put it out quick, because they weren't prepared to handle the responsibility of what success actually means. I know, 10 years seems like a lifetime, and it kind of is, but it's also the blink of an eye. We can't defeat, bypass, or cheat God's law of sowing and reaping. We can't plant a seed, put some water on it, take a nap, and then wake up and just reap all the spoils. This is not how it works. Don't even Google how long it takes for an oak tree to grow from that seed. It is dreadfully long. It's depressingly long, okay? Don't even Google it. Growth takes time, unless you're a weed. Unless you're a weed in my garden right now. This does not apply to you for some weird reason. But for the rest of us, growth takes time. There's no way around it. And if you have a blessing that's being delayed, like maybe a job or a raise or an award or getting funding for a nonprofit or, you know, getting a home that suits your family better, I can't help but wonder if it's because God is putting you through the necessary stages of growth. Not to punish you, but because he loves you and he knows that ultimately this is what is best for you and your family. If you are truly pursuing God's will and vision for your life, Why would he give you the promotion if you're too immature to handle it and just to get fired within 6 months? Why would we get tons of money if we didn't have the skills or the knowledge to invest it wisely? Why would we be delivered our soulmate if we're still too broken and wounded from previous relationships to love them the way they deserve to be loved? Why would we be given more responsibility if we're buckling under the responsibility that we've been given now? Joyce Meyer said, God is always on time, but he's rarely early. And I know it sucks. We want him early. I'd have Christmas in July, if I'm being perfectly honest with you. All right. And then I'd be unhappy with it in July. So then I'd keep moving it up. I'd keep moving up Christmas until it was back in December again. Then hopefully I'd realize Christmas Day usually isn't all it's hyped up to be. It goes by lightning fast. And for some of us, most of Christmas Day is spent in the kitchen, making the Christmas dinner, cleaning up the Christmas dinner, serving, you know, everybody's pouring wine, a little hot cocoa. You know what I mean? And it goes by so fast before you know it, you're going to bed in your new brand new pajamas. It's not really Christmas Day that brings us so much joy. It's the anticipation of it. The decorating of the home after Thanksgiving, the music, the ambiance, the candles, all of that holiday baking that spread out throughout the month, the holiday parties, the work holiday parties, right? The excitement of giving and receiving gifts, spending a day with people we love whom we don't always get to see very often. Holiday shopping with your best friend or your sister, grabbing dinner afterwards. The fireplace crackling while watching Home Alone and eating Christmas cookies. In fact, the lead up to Christmas can be so filled with joy and fun and delight that once we get to Christmas, we're exhausted. We're like, oh my God, can this holiday just be over with already? And can someone pick up this damn wrapping paper? You know what I mean? We can just be over it. The month has been so joy-filled that the actual day is like, eh, well, whatever. I'm ready to move on. Honestly, I'm swollen and bloated from all these carbs. I'm ready to get on a diet. You know what I mean? I want to live the kind of hope-filled, faith-abundant life that I have so much fun anticipating God's blessing that my joy isn't at all dependent on when or if it ever arrives. That my joy is in the hope and the journey, even in the struggle. And when I get the blessing, that I may be so filled with gratitude that I overflow and share it, whether it be my knowledge or my writing or my testimony or a financial blessing or whatever it is. I want to live the kind of life that's December, regardless of what happens on the 25th. You know what I mean? That's the kind of life I want to live. Just loving and celebrating the whole month of leading up to December. So much so that if Christmas Day doesn't even happen, it'd be okay. Because you just had so much fun leading up to it. Right? You know what I'm saying? I don't want to finally be happy once I get the blessing. I want to be happy and joy-filled now and grateful and peaceful once the blessing arrives. Whether it's when traffic finally starts moving again, or my agent sells my book, or when I get to my body's ideal fitness and size, or getting that paycheck that brings, you know, a big sigh of relief, or, you know, that good report from the doctor. You know what I mean? I want to be happy all the way up until that time. I want to be joy-filled all the way up until then. Each day gives us multiple chances to practice patience. From the minute you, if you're a parent too, or if you, yeah, let me tell, oh, from the minute you wake up till your head hits the pillow, we got lots of chances to practice. Can we at least shoot for like an 80% success rate? Is that crazy? Can we even dream to try it? Because impatience is a joy killer, my friends. That's why patience is the fruit of the Spirit. It is intertwined with God's goodness and his peace that is his gift to us. Let me tell you, it doesn't feel good to fight with your husband all the way to church because he pooped too long.
You know what I mean? You're like, you got 5 minutes to get there, and then he just goes to the bathroom and shuts the door, and you're like, hello, we're going to be late. Okay, because I've been there, and I would have much rather enjoyed the ride to church, drinking my coffee, and holding his hand lovingly than arguing. You know what I mean? That would have been a lot more fun. And it's just in a simple choice. And I'm just kidding. My husband and I did not have a fight about him pooping right before we left for church. Although we probably have at some point in our relationship. But we have like, you know, we were late or there was breakfast. And so we're bickering and then we're late. And then we're bickering all the way to church about being late to church. And then we end up being kind of early. You know what I mean? I remember one time we were just bickering all the way, like, well, it's not my fault. Well, you should have got the kids up. Blah, 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 blah. Bicker. And then we were early. I'm like, you know what? I could have had a really lovely car ride here. Instead, it sucked. And there's nobody else to blame but me. Because I was impatient. There is no real benefit to impatience. All it does is satisfy our sense of entitlement and our ego. That's all it does. And none of that's real anyway. Of course, we need to make sure that too much patience doesn't slip into apathy. There's nothing wrong with being proactive and on it. But it's when we feel entitled to our expectations. Expectations that are usually so self-centered and a tad outside of reality to begin with. Okay, just call me Mrs. 5 Years. Was I crazy? So here's our challenge for this week. We're not going to let impatience steal our God-given gift of joy. We will celebrate the waiting. Whether it's the Starbucks line or for that ever so important phone call, for the check to come or for the baby to arrive, we will celebrate and experience joy in the waiting. With love, patience, and kindness. You know what I'm saying? Are you with me? Are you with me, you guys? All right. Impatience is the joy killer. It's the joy killer. Patience produces joy. Practice it. We got to practice it, okay? All right, everybody. That is it for me today. Thank you so much for listening. It has been an honor to be chatting with you. Oh, and I have one other big announcement. The Word Up Club is getting a huge upgrade. More info to come, but starting in August, we will be having a book club, monthly amazing workshops with guests and guest teachers you'll love. Word Uppers, I will be announcing this month's book on Wednesday, okay, in the group. So we'll also have some challenges and we will keep each other accountable. It is definitely a group for women who want to live their very best joy-filled life and to be surrounded by like-minded sisters while they do it. So if you would like to join, just go to annaandsusannashow.com/join to learn more. Is that it? Is that it, Anna? Yeah, looks like that's it. Okay, well, I guess this is the part where I say, until next time, goodbye.